Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll do part of the show later this morning on New York Post headlines through the years. There's a new book out that collects them. But credit the Daily News for the headline of this weekend. Vito Fisella, Republican Congressman Vito Fisella, could face some mandatory jail time for his drunken driving arrest outside D.C. if he's convicted. But will he face the political wrath of voters in his district, Staten Island and a tiny piece of Brooklyn? He's been popular there, but Fisella is the only Republican in the New York City delegation during this time when the city and state are trending even further away from the GOP. We don't know if he was drinking red or white, but the Daily News today said Fisella called a woman friend upon his arrest, not his wife or chief of staff, who happened to live nearby, and it questions his use of campaign funds to pay for a high-priced damage control expert who he apparently hired this weekend. With me now is Daily News Daily Politics columnist Liz Benjamin. Hi, Liz. You didn't write that headline, Vito Fisella, did you?
I did not. I can't take credit for the headline.
But so. you wish you did.
It's a good one.
Catch us up on this, since it was a weekend story. Fisella was stopped late Thursday night. Why and coming from where?
He was coming from, well, there had been a White House event, but it was football related, if I remember correctly. But that had been a number of hours before he was stopped. And at the time that he was stopped, he told the police officer he was going to pick up his daughter, which was not true. And he was clearly smelling like alcohol and failed some field sobriety tests. And then after that, failed a breathalyzer test where he blew about twice the legal limit.
I didn't hear about that alleged lying to the police officer part. He said he was going to pick up his daughter when he really wasn't?
That's what's been reported, correct.
Do we know where he was actually going?
No, I do not believe I know that. It was pretty early in the morning.
A little after midnight, kind of early in the morning, right? It wasn't like 5:30 in the morning.
It was early.
What are these two new wrinkles in the Daily News today about a mystery woman and questionable use of campaign funds?
Well, the woman is an old friend, which is how she's been defined, somebody that he's known for a couple of years. And beyond that, we're just really not sure. She has a military background. She wouldn't comment. Of course, she's been staked out by various different enterprising photographers. There's a photo of her today in the Daily News.
The implication in the story, though it doesn't say it, is that she is someone he's having an extramarital affair with. Are you going there?
I'm personally not going to go there, no. I think that the issue is that she's an old friend. We don't really know how they know each other. We don't really know the extent of their relationship. I don't think that you can extrapolate beyond that. They know each other. He did call her to help him out when he was in a jam.
And she does live near there, right?
She does, yeah. Yep, she does.
I just don't want to jump to any conclusions that aren't warranted.
No, I don't think that that would be appropriate, no. But in addition, in terms of the spending of campaign funds, you know, that's a big loophole. You can pretty much spend your campaign funds on anything you'd like. And that's what the problem is at the federal and state level in the eyes of good government activists, which is that these laws are very gray in terms of what you can and can't spend your money on.
So there wouldn't be a crime here. It would be an ethical question as to whether the campaign donors want their money spent on a damage control expert after you're arrested for drunken driving.
Right. At least one person, I believe, who gave money to Vito Fisella was quoted as saying that it wasn't something that he minded.
On the other hand, this may be the most important way for him to spend campaign funds if he wants to get reelected in November.
One could argue. I mean, you really can spend your campaign cash. It's very loosely defined, right?
Yeah.
It is sort of a longstanding practice, particularly at the state level, of using your campaign funds to, for example, hire an attorney if you're in trouble, right? That's been happening.
Uh-huh.
And also we see at the city level that you could spend taxpayer funds on hiring an attorney if you have a problem. So
yeah.
Yeah.
As Christine Quinn was telling us just the other day. No, I'm kidding.
Well, no, that's true. And in fact, the mayor himself has said that he believes that it's an appropriate use of campaign funds, of taxpayer dollars, for people who, to defend, you know, public employees, particularly because it could get incredibly expensive. And if they haven't done anything wrong, then they're entitled to, you know, be defended.
Right. And I guess from a voter's perspective in his district, there are two ways to look at this. Either drunk driving is something that can happen to anyone once in a lifetime, and he's got no history of this, as far as I know, or it's a scandal that casts doubt on his fitness for office when he's making the laws.
Well, you said earlier that he is popular in the district, and that is true, except he did win by less of a margin the last election, where he faced attorney Stephen Harrison, who is, of course, making another run at it this time around.
He's got a Democratic primary possibly to go through first, right?
Yeah, but from Councilman Recchia, right. So, who hasn't officially announced, although he is raising money and has filed with the FEC a campaign.
Do you know what that margin of victory was by any chance?
It was 43%, I believe. He won with, you know, with the 43% was the margin. I can't remember the exact amount, but it was considerably less than the last time around.
He won, 43. He didn't win by 43 points.
No.
The loser had 43% of the vote.
I think that was it, but I don't want to be held to that because I'd have to go back and check it. But I know that it was lower than he had in the previous election.
And the trend in Staten Island, in that piece of South Brooklyn, as in so much of New York State, is even though it's a more conservative area than some others in New York, than any other probably in New York City, since Fasella is the only Republican in the congressional delegation from the city, even though it's more conservative, it's still trending more Democratic as time goes on.
Well, the whole state is trending more Democratic as time goes on, and that's the problem that Republicans face. I mean, you said that he is, of course, the only Republican in the city delegation, but in the entire state delegation, there's only six. And two of them are not running for re-election. That would be Jim Walsh of the Syracuse area and Tom Reynolds, who used to be a quite powerful guy until the Republicans ended up in the minority. He's in the Buffalo area. He's not running for re-election. So, you know, already you have Republicans looking at a pretty difficult year, not to mention the fact that in 2011, about, they're going to end up doing another redistricting run. And if the Democrats control the state Senate, it could be very problematic for the Republicans.
Right. So what makes these things much bigger scandals is when the perpetrator has a history of campaigning against the act, like Spitzer in prostitution rings or Ted Haggerty in homosexuality, wasn't in politics. Does Fasella have anything like that we know of regarding substance abuse or anything else?
There's a minor connection, but I think that you have to be careful in saying things like, for example, Elliot Spitzer. He had zero reserve, right? Nobody really was thrilled to step up to the plate and help him because go to bat for him because he had had so many fights with so many people and burned so many bridges.
Right. He had zero reserve as an individual and zero political reserve to draw on.
Right. In this case, you don't have that. You have Republican and conservative leaders saying, hey, you know, Vito Fasella stepped up to the plate, took responsibility, said it was his fault. You know, he's going to face the punishment, whatever that may be. It could be even a couple of days in jail. And you have people in the district, as you said, he's pretty popular, people saying, we're going to stand by this guy. Now, the problem is if it gets worse, you know, of course, that's an issue. But in this day and age in New York, you have Democrats all over the map with a number of different problems. You have the governor who's now sitting who said he had extramarital affairs back in the day. So perhaps maybe Democrats don't want to open this can of worms.
Huh. And Fasella is also an unusually conservative Republican for New York, right? He's not a Giuliani or Pataki kind of Republican on social issues. Isn't that right?
He is less moderate than some of the others, if that's what you're trying to say. Although there are some who say that Republicans in New York are almost like Democrats anywhere else.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's true in Fasella's case, who I think has more aligned with the conservative wing of the party in Washington.
He's run with conservative support in New York, and that also, however, a number of Republicans who are not so conservative have run with conservative support in New York. I'm not familiar with his record enough to say one way or another in D.C.,
And Dick Cheney came and did a fundraiser for Fasella in New York
a couple of weeks ago. Yeah,
you know, I don't think Cheney is very popular even among Staten Island Republicans at this point. Do you?
Well, you know, Vassella has pretty long-standing ties with the Bush administration, and John McCain came and campaigned with him in 1998. This is, you know, just after he was elected in a special in 97. And then subsequently, Vassella backed Bush early against McCain in 2000. So he has long-standing ties to the Bush administration, that's true.
By the way, just as an aside, and I don't know if you want to, you don't have to say anything about this, but here's what happens to illegal immigrants in New Jersey who do what Vita Vassello did. They wind up in places like the Elizabeth Detention Center, profiled in the New York Times today, on the way to being deported, because drunk driving arrests were recently designated in New Jersey this year as a reason for state police to report people's immigration status to the feds for deportation. DUI used to be considered a low-level crime that wouldn't affect immigration reporting in New Jersey. And the Elizabeth Detention Center was written up as a place with no government body required to keep track of deaths and publicly report them. So that's one standard for assessing the seriousness of this particular crime.
Well, I can't speak to that, but I can say that I have some minimal knowledge of the fact that in Virginia, which I believe is where Vito Vassello was arrested, there was some debate over strengthening the law to prevent pleading out. So, you know, the idea, of course, is that generally speaking, if you're a first timer, you can plead. But I'm not so necessarily sure that that's
because they were cracking down on drunk driving in that area. Would it have mandatory jail time if he was arrested for the same thing in New York? Do you know?
I'm not familiar with the state law. No, I don't. But I want to say I don't think so, because
I don't think so either.
There are a number of Democratic lawmakers who, in the past, say 2 years, have been arrested for drunk driving. Now they pled out, right? So they, at least one of them, in fact, I can recall, did not do any jail time.
Elizabeth Benjamin writes the Daily Politics column for the Daily News. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we'll talk about the movie Constantine Sword and its tie-in to Holocaust Remembrance Day. Stay with us.